We're going to get into the post from Trump on Twitter. Very similar. This is like almost exactly the same thing. And once you see it, maybe you'll really start to understand where I come down when it comes to politics, for example, during an election, and why I do it. For many years, people never understood why I don't vote or threaten to vote for Democrats, although I never have, or why I'm constantly antagonizing my own side. These are examples why. Our featured story is all about this post from the president on Thanksgiving, and I guess I'll just read it to you. This is in response to the shooting of the two National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., which took place last week. One of them is now dead. The other is in critical condition, but seems to be recovering a little bit. And it seemed that Trump was very angry about this. You could see it on his face when he gave a statement about it the following morning. This is what he posted about it on True Social and Twitter. He said, quote, and this was on Thanksgiving. Our president said, a very happy Thanksgiving salutation to all our great American citizens and patriots who have been so nice in allowing our country to be divided, disrupted, carved up, murdered, beaten, mugged, and laughed at, along with certain other foolish countries throughout the world for being politically correct and just plain stupid when it comes to immigration. That was the first sentence. That's kind of an awesome sentence. But he goes on. There's a lot of ideas in there. He writes, the official United States foreign population stands at 53 million people, census, citing the census for that number, most of which are on welfare from failed nations or from prisons, mental institutions, gangs or drug cartels. They and their children are supported through massive payments from patriotic American citizens who, because of their beautiful hearts, do not want to openly complain or cause trouble in any way, shape, or form. They put up with what has happened to our country, but it's eating them alive to do so. A migrant earning $30,000 with a green card will get roughly $50,000 in yearly benefits for their family. The real migrant population is much higher. This refugee burden is the leading cause of social dysfunction in America, something that did not exist after World War II. Failed schools, high crime, urban decay, overcrowded hospitals, housing shortages, and large deficits. As an example, hundreds of thousands from Somalia are completely taking over the once great state of Minnesota. Somalian gangs are roving the streets looking for prey, as our wonderful people stay locked in their apartments and houses, hoping against hope that they will be left alone. The seriously retarded governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does nothing, either through fear, incompetence, or both. While the worst congressman slash woman in our country, Ilhan Omar, always wrapped in her swaddling hijab, and who probably came into the United States illegally in that you are not allowed to marry your brother, does nothing but hatefully complain about our country, its constitution, and how badly she is treated when her place of origin is a decadent, backward, and crime-ridden nation, which is essentially not even a country, for lack of government, military, police, schools, etc. Even as we have progressed technologically, immigration policy has eroded those gains and living conditions for many. I will permanently pause migration from all third world countries to allow the U.S. system to fully recover, terminate all of the millions of Biden illegal admissions, including those signed by sleepy Joe Biden's auto pen, and remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States or is incapable of loving our country, end all federal benefits and subsidies to non-citizens, denaturalize migrants who undermine domestic tranquility and deport any foreign national who is a public charge, security risk, or non-compatible with Western civilization. That was another run-on sentence. These goals will be pursued with the aim of achieving a major reduction in illegal and disruptive populations, including those admitted through an unauthorized and illegal auto pen approval process. Only reverse migration can cure the situation. Other than that, happy Thanksgiving to all, except those that hate, steal, murder, and destroy everything that America stands for. You won't be here for long. So those are the Thanksgiving greetings from our president, Donald Trump. Honestly, it's a great post. This is like a legendary all-time, greatest of all-time, Hall of Fame post. masterfully written, contains all the essential, most of the essential ideas. It's perfect. It's a great statement from start to finish. Then he really got into the wholeness of the problem, which is that the country's being invaded illegally. We have a massive foreign-born population. It's bigger than ever. It's creating social dysfunction that didn't exist before the mass migration. It is a burden on the country fiscally and economically. The people that are here are ungrateful and sort of sick and twisted. They hate the country, but all they do is complain. And there is this complacency because Americans don't want to complain about it. The immigrants come here from broken countries. They cause the problems. They do so illegally. They are a drain. And the American people, they don't want to complain about the arrangement because they don't want to get punished or they don't want to rock the boat. And Trump's prescription is perfect, too. He says we need to basically revoke their legal standing to be here. The asylum seekers, the illegal border crossers, wall jumpers, everybody basically that does not have citizenship, he says, needs to be removed from the country and will terminate visas, asylum claims, deferred action on deportation, whether that's TPS or DACA. He says, we're going to terminate all that. We're going to remigrate the people. They came here in massive numbers against the law. We're going to reverse that flow in massive numbers, consistent with the law. They came here by the millions. They will leave by the millions. They came here and caused the problems. By getting them out, we will solve the problems. That's the idea. And it's perfect. And you read this and you get excited. It's actually a funny post. He goes on this tear. Other than that, happy Thanksgiving. It's a funny, hilarious, incisive, witty, direct. It's a great post. Here's the problem, though. I read through this and I said, this is awesome. Like I said, everything I've just told you, this is my reaction. It's great. But what actually is ever going to come of this? What are we actually doing about this problem? We have been at this for 10 years. Trump came down the escalator in June 2015. It is December 2025. It has been 10.5 years. We have had 5 years of a Trump presidency. 4 years in the first term, nearly 1 year in the second term. What have we done about this? If anything, it's gotten worse. It got worse in Trump's first term. We had record-breaking illegal border crossings in 2019, hit the cap for H-1B visas every year. So in terms of legal and illegal immigration, we didn't see a major reduction. We actually saw increases. There were no mass deportations, no wall, didn't change immigration law. And that's why all the executive orders that Trump created were instantly reversed when Biden was elected and brought in 10 million more illegals and brought in a ton of legal immigrants to boot and let things get worse than ever before. Now here we are for the second term. In what way, shape, or form has any of this gotten better? We closed the border. That should be a given. But the mass deportations are not materializing. We're deporting about 1,000 people per day. How many we're bringing in on H-1B visas? How many people are being naturalized? It looks like there are proposals to double the number of H-1B visas. There have been more naturalizations this year than last year. More naturalizations under Trump, not even in a full year, than under a full year of Joe Biden in his terminal year in his term. So what are we actually doing here? What are we doing about the problem? People look at these types of statements as though Trump is saying them as the candidate running against an incumbent, but he's not. He is saying these things as the sitting president who has been here for a year, who has been in power off and on for 5 years, who's been around for more than 10 years. And when you read a statement like this, and it's not the first of its kind, and you've been reading statements like this for 10 years, you begin to wonder, when is this actually going to happen? Where is the follow through? When will there be a delivery here? A tangible win on any of this? And then you realize that this is the strategy. This is actually their intentional playbook. They're deeply conscientious of this. And this is how it goes. What is happening right now, obviously, is that Trump is more unpopular maybe than ever. Certainly, he's more unpopular than at any other time in this second term. His favorability is in the toilet. His approval is in the toilet. Specifically, his approval on immigration and the economy is very bad. For the first time in years, voters actually favor Democrats on the economy over Republicans. People blame Trump for the state of the economy more than they blame Biden. Any way that you cut it, Trump is in real trouble with these numbers. Numbers polling his own base, polling Republicans, independents. Any way you cut it, it is catastrophically bad. And he has only himself to blame. We're cutting Medicaid to pay for corporate tax cuts. DOGE was a total failure. We're bombing Iran. Prices have not gone down and the economy has not recovered. The tariffs have been a complete disaster. There are mounting signs all over the economy. We're in a real estate bubble. Consumer spending is slowing. The job market is frozen. They're not even releasing the jobs report in October. On top of all that, they didn't even release the Epstein files. So it is a total disaster. That is why he's unpopular. And it's self-inflicted. It is because rather than keep his promises, all that this administration has done is enrich the people that are in it. There is rampant, basically criminal levels of corruption in this government. The very people that Trump brought in to drain the swamp, they're looting DC. They're taking everything that isn't nailed down practically. They're fucking stealing. They are corrupt. That is all these, you know, why do you think they brought these people in? Someone like Howard Lutnick and David Sachs and, you know, these people, they are criminals. So this is, and it's important to understand this, contrary to what the true believers, the plan trusters say, this is not actually the result of a political system that is so difficult to overcome that, you know, they can't do it in a matter of 5 years. No, they're not even trying. It is actually for a lack of trying that it is this way. They're not trying. It's a joke. Kristi Noem is a joke. Cash Patel is a joke. Pete Hegseth is a joke. People allegedly are in there blackmailing him. It's like every person in this cabinet is a complete disaster. And the reason it's like this is because it's all patronage. Trump got an office to stay out of jail. He had to cut deals to get money. And now that he's in, he had to reward the donors by allowing them to pick the cabinet members, reward other people in the party with these patronage posts. And now this is what we're getting. So this is an utter and complete catastrophe. There's no deportations. We hit the H-1B cap. We're in a war with Iran. We're going to go back very soon. It's just like one cataclysm after the next. Here's the playbook. It is in this context where Trump posts something like this. Poll numbers down, favorability down the tubes, economy sucks, all these wars are breaking out all over again. Everybody's deeply unhappy. What do? Let it rip with the racism. Let it rip with the retard. Let it rip with nativism. I know what'll get those stupid idiots back on my side. I'm going to do a racist rant. I'm going to go on Twitter and True Social, and I'm going to let it rip. And I'm going to be obnoxious and belligerent and politically incorrect and brash and controversial. And I'm going to say something so shocking, so edgy, so ridiculous that everyone is going to be talking about this and not that. Everyone's going to be talking about how I called Tim Walz a retard. Everyone's going to be talking about how I said this about Ilhan Omar. I'm going to pack 15 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bag of controversy and rage bait and clip farming so that nobody's going to pay attention to the fact that we didn't even release the October jobs report because it was so bad. No one's paying attention to a war in Venezuela that nobody wants. No one's paying attention to Black Friday consumer trends being a disaster, the job market failing. No one pay any attention to the complete and utter disaster. Republicans might lose their majority in the House before the midterms because so many people are jumping ship. But don't look at that. Look at my racist rant. Look at my stupid little rant on True Social that I'm not actually going to do shit about. I'm not going to follow through on any of it. That's the best part. It's not, I'm going to satisfy my base responding to their needs and demands. No, I am going to pander to my base as though I give a shit about what they want to distract them from how I'm betraying them in every other way, including the ways in which I'm pandering to them about. That's what this is. That's what this always is. I'll give you examples. In the 2018 midterms, after Trump was elected in 2016, it was clear that we were headed for a blue wave. There were already very bad signs. We lost the Senate special election in Alabama. We lost another special election in suburban Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. There were a lot of warning signs that 2018 was going to be a bloodbath. And by 2018, they did the same thing, which is instead of giving money for a border wall and fixing immigration, they did a corporate tax cut. They did the same thing. They squandered their budget measure on trying to repeal Obamacare and failing. And then they squandered the second one on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is the corporate tax cut. There was no border wall. There was no immigration reform. And so what did Trump do to get Republicans to turn out in the 2018 midterms? He deployed the National Guard to the border. And he went to rallies and said, we're going to call ourselves nationalists again. We're going to use that word again. The midterms came and went. Republicans got destroyed. And what happened? Trump pulled the National Guard back from the border almost immediately. And we never heard him say the word nationalist ever again. They do this every time. Trump knows his base. He knows his people. He knows what they want. He knows what they want to hear. And he always has. And what does it tell you that he can flip a switch like this? For the past year and a half, you know, we heard about immigration. We heard we need the people. Americans have no talent. We need Indians. We're going to staple green cards to diplomas. We need the farm workers. We need the hospitality workers. The radical right won't like this, but they'll understand. We're not going to deport people at Home Depot or meatpacking plants. He's been saying that for a year and a half. What does it tell you? Now that his poll numbers are in the tubes, he could write something like this. Like he flipped the switch last week, he goes in an interview and says, Americans have no talent. You think we could pull somebody out of an unemployment line and have them build a Hyundai? You can't. Who's going to build our missiles for us? Americans don't have the talent. We need the immigrants. And then 1 week later, he lets something like that rip where he goes, immigrants are coming here. We have the biggest foreign-born population. They're wrecking society, and no one wants to say anything because they feel guilty. We got to get them out. What does it tell you if he could flip a switch? It means that he knows. He knows. He knows what you want. He knows what you're asking for. He knows what you expect him to deliver. But he refuses to give it to you. Why? Because he knows he doesn't need to. He only brings that out in an emergency. If he can get you to vote without doing those things, he won't do it. If he doesn't think he needs to pander to you, he won't. He will pander to the billionaires because he needs their money. But when he's losing support catastrophically, he knows just which buttons to press, just which levers to pull, just the right words to say. I mean, if you read that post like I just did, you must be thinking, this is amazing. This is awesome. Where's this guy? That guy doesn't exist. It's an act. It's an appeal. People say, are we going to get the 2016 Trump back? Oh, I think this is 2016 Trump. 2016 Trump is a marketing strategy. It's like the fucking green M&M. Okay? It is like the Geico Gecko. It is a marketing gimmick. It is like when McDonald's plays Monopoly. It's a marketing gimmick to get you through the door to buy the product. And people go, where was this Trump? That Trump never existed. That is a face that Trump puts on when he desperately needs people to stick with him. And as soon as he gets you back, he takes it off and goes back to taking care of business. That's what happens. And what is that? What else does that tell us? I see people on Twitter and I see people on YouTube and they say, we need to get on Twitter and we need to tell the president that we don't support this, that, or the other thing. And it presumes that he doesn't know. Whenever I go on Alex Jones, he tells me, we need to tell the president we don't want a war with Iran. Tell the president? What are you talking about? We're talk show hosts. What do you mean we need to tell the president? Doesn't he have millions of dollars and contracts to the best consultants and pollsters? They know what the people want. They know what the people want and what they're asking for and what they expect. They know exactly what they want. And this is the proof. Because when push comes to shove, they know how to give the people what they want. They just choose not to every other time. It's not for lack of being reminded. It's not because fucking Lomez and John Doyle didn't run it up the flagpole on Twitter. It's not because Mike Cernovich tweeted, hey, Trump, I really think this war with Iran is a bad idea. No, they know exactly what the people want. They just don't give it to them unless it is absolutely necessary. Then they will signal that they're prepared to give them what they want. And then they never do. That's what this is. And once you understand that, you understand the game that we've been playing for the past 10 years. It's no different than when at the convention last year, they held up signs saying mass deportations. You see any mass deportations? They're not happening. I saw somebody say, I think it was Daryl Cooper, who I like, but he said, you can't judge Trump unless you give him at least 12 to 24 months first. 12 to 24. We got to wait until 2027 before we can judge what he did in 25. The next primary for the next election is going to have started already. We can't judge until 2 years in. What are you talking about? This is the game that they play, which is that every election on an off year, on a major election year, or whenever their poll numbers tank, they will tell you what you want to hear. And they know how to do it. They're very good at it. They're not ignorant. They know exactly what to say. And they get you to buy in. That's the critical word that people don't seem to understand. They want you to buy in. They want you to believe. They want you to have faith. They want you to stand there patiently waiting for your reform with your hands on your hips saying, all right, come on now, Trump. Where's the 2016 Trump? They want you doing apologia for the administration, making excuses, negotiating with yourself. Oh, well, you know, they're waiting for the money to hit from the big, beautiful bill. Well, they just need more time. They need to spin up ICE. It's going to take more time. They want you to do this so that they can screw you more. And then the next time you're mad, they're going to feed you another line like this. And they have done this for 10 years. They will do it for the next 10 years. And they'll do it for 10 years after that because that is what they do. That is what politicians do. The only reason that Trump was ever attractive is because his appeal is that he was not a politician. Starting to get it? What was attractive about Trump in 2015 is he said, it doesn't work like that with me. I'm not a politician. What you see is what you're going to get. What I'm saying is what I will deliver. I'll deliver real, tangible victories, not political PR victories, and I could do that because I'm not corrupt, but that was a line. And we learned that very quickly in the first term that he was not who he said he was when he hired Steve Mnuchin and John Bolton and the swamp creatures. We knew then that he lied. He was a politician. Saying I'm not a politician was just the latest innovation of the supreme politician, Donald Trump. And he got in and we learned that the hard way. And so when we came out the second time or the third time in 2024, there should have been an expectation like you need to demonstrate that it will be different. But people just rushed back in and they said, oh, no, I assume it will be different. The rhetoric wasn't like this in the campaign. The rhetoric was terrible. The rallies were terrible. The pledges, the campaign platform was terrible, but people said, we'll sort that out later. Well, now here we are. It's terrible. And what does Trump do? He's going to keep pressing that button, the only one he knows how to press, which is he gets in hot water, gets in trouble. He's going to roll out. He's going to dust off and then roll out the same old playbook. I'm in trouble. Let's do more racism. And you people need to understand this, you white people. I know you white people are angry. I'm angry too. I know you poor people are angry. You know, we're all angry. The country is going away. There's no deficit of anger. But demonstrating anger does nothing. What does something is actually getting involved in the political system and making change. And it is so easy for people that are angry and sentimental and caught up in their emotions to get wrapped up in statements like this. They're waiting for somebody to affirm or acknowledge their grievances. This is grievance politics. This is white grievance politics. And it is being weaponized against white people, just as black racial politics was weaponized against the black people. We call them race hustlers. Donald Trump is like the first white race hustler because he is hustling us as a group. He is hustling white people. He is feigning concern for our ethnic interests without delivering. He barely sees himself as white. They call him a Jew. Mark Levin says you're the first Jewish president. You got Jewish grandkids. Trump is constantly signaling to his predominantly white base with a implicitly white cultural politics and is always stabbing the white people in the back by making appeals to them obliquely in this way. He's the first white race hustler. And it's not to say that we don't need a white identity politics, but it is to say that we need an authentic white identity politics. It isn't a scam. It isn't pandering to our basest instincts where we say, oh yeah, fuck immigrants. I mean, on some level, yes, but let's see the policy. And this is what the Republican Party has become now. It's actually very sad. It is a handshake between the worst elements of the elites and the worst elements of the masses. The most hateful tendencies of the masses and the most cynical tendencies of the elites. Because the elites do not have this kind of hatred. They don't have this kind of antipathy for foreigners and outsiders that a lot of people among the lower classes do. And the lower classes have maybe an authenticity, a plain spokenness that the elites don't have. But they're sort of getting together and they're embracing the worst of both worlds. We're in a race to the bottom where people like Tucker and Trump that are really not on our side. They're not against Israel. They're not pro-white. They're barely Christian. These people are getting together and appealing to superstition, talking about demons and chemtrails, appealing to racism, talking about Ilhan Omar and the Somalis and all that kind of stuff. And there's a race to be the most crass, the most controversial, the most uncivil, the most cruel, without actually delivering change and actually delivering more corruption than ever. So you're getting maximum cruelty. You're not even getting like the good faith, reasonable opposition to these things that comes from a patriotic place. You're getting the worst kind of shock politics where we're just like these fucking retards and blah, 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 faggots and retards. And, you know, you're getting that. You're getting crass, casual cruelty, meanness. You're getting people like Stephen Miller that are just saying like fucking white boomers and third worlders, you're nothing. We're going to round you up. And so you're getting maximum cruelty and mean-spiritedness and legitimate, probably just like gross appeals to racism to pander to the masses while also getting maximum corruption, not delivering real immigration reform, which would benefit everybody, not actually delivering real populist change in the government, but actually entrenching the richest, most powerful interest groups. AI, defense tech, Palantir, Elon Musk, like all these people, the Israel lobby. We're going into Gaza and building a smart city on a mass grave of children murdered by Israel. Like, so you're getting the worst of all of it in the Republican Party. This is the sickness. It's guys like Tucker and Vance and Stephen Miller mean mugging for the camera saying your third world's gotta go. We hate you. And then turning around and supporting Vance and the Jeet wife, entrenching the interests, and there's no mass deportations at all. What are we actually doing with any of this? It's disgusting. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I want the opposite. I don't want the mean-spiritedness. I don't want the controversy for controversy's sake. And people say that's rich coming from you. I don't try to be provocative. I just am. And I don't do it for its own sake. I do it for a reason. It's because I'm telling the truth, and the truth is provocative. But I want the opposite. I want the actual change. I want actual immigration moratorium, mass deportations. I want actual suspension of foreign lobbying from Israel and Qatar and from Russia and China. You know, I want all that shut down. I actually want to suspend the asylum requests. I want to build the wall and keep the illegals out. I want to have an America First immigration program. I want all of it without the cruelty, without the mean-spiritedness, without the hatred, without having to feel like we need to appeal to those kinds of things to win people over to our side, without feeding the anger, feeding the grievance. That's what I want. And we're getting the inverse of that. And I think it's deeply wrong. And I want nothing to do with it. So I see the statement from the president and it's like, dude, shut up. You're the president. Deliver it. He goes on True Social on Thanksgiving with this rant about we have the largest foreign-born population. They cost all this money. Okay, you've only been the president now for 5 years. Do something about it then. Don't talk anymore. And Trump has really inverted everything. His whole campaign the first time was politicians are all talk, no action. You've been in government for 40 years. You have experience, but it's bad experience. Okay, how long have you been in politics now? And what have you done? Don't bitch about it on Thanksgiving. Just do it. And I have no reason to believe he will. He went from 1 week ago saying, Americans have no skills. We need the people. The deportation numbers are abysmal. We deported 300,000 people in a year. It's nothing. To now this screed. Oh, what did you just wake up and realize your own voters wanted the deportations? The deportations you promised? Get real. Just fucking do it then. So no, I am not putting the MAGA hat back on. I am not falling for it again. We must continue to be basically hostile in our opposition to this administration until it delivers. Not until it tweets about what we want, until it delivers what we want. We can't keep being the stupid people anymore that give and get nothing in return, that give and there's no reciprocity. More support, more votes, another election, more donations. And the real victories are always just out of reach, just outside our grasp. We were going to do it, but would you settle for a post on True Social? Would you settle for a meta political victory? I saw some asshole saying that it's a meta political victory that Trump said reverse migration. Look, I don't know what that is. I want victory, period. Not a meta political victory, not an abstract victory, not a theoretical victory. I want victory. There's no substitute. I want to win. I want the country to be the way that I want it to be. I don't want another post. I don't want more promises. I don't want another 20-point plan. I want to see fewer immigrants in America today. You're the president. You have a mandate. You have both chambers of Congress. Literally, what is the excuse at this point? And if the excuse is, what about the courts? Forget the courts. Wasn't that the whole LARP? When are we actually going to get it? You know, you could just do things. What if Trump was like Roosevelt? I don't know. What if? Let's see it. I saw Curtis Yarvin tweet about this statement. He said, oh, the lion is unchained or some other stupid thing. It's like, really? Because he made another post on True Social? How old are you again? I mean, we've seen this movie before. But this, the theme tonight, it's consistent with both of them. We're getting crap. We're getting fucking slop. You're getting people going out clip farming and saying, retard, retard, third world, third world. And then they turn around and give you dog shit. They give you slop so they can feed you shit. And that's your GOP. It's a disgusting scam. So anyway, and I saw Cenk Uygur did a statement about this on Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving, and I actually thought he was totally right. He said, you know, even Nick Fuentes is saying we need less cruelty. He said, and that's because populism is winning. I think he's totally right about that, by the way. I think he's absolutely correct. It turns out that Generation Z doesn't really hate anybody. What we want is populism. What we want is order. Now, contrary to the nephew, who says all identity politics is a distraction from class consciousness, no, actually, identity plays a big role in that also. But people don't want the rhetoric. They don't want the shock. People just want the America First policies. We want a country. It's that simple.